Okay. Let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the sada, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa.Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa.Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami.Okay, can be said that. Then turn to page 1, of the chanting book. We will recite the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato.Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama SambuddhasaBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami,Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPānātipātā vērāmanī sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Ādīnā dānā vērāmanī sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micācārā vērāmanī sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmiMusāvādā vērāmanī sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmirāyā majjhapamādattānā vērāmanī sikkhāpadāṁ samādhiyāmi Now we chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditthenaDipena tamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambutang Ujayami tamonudang Ganda sambara yutena Dupena hang sugang hina Puja ye puja niyang tang Puja baja namo temang Vanna ganda gono petang Etang kesuma santatin Puja yami monin jasa Siri pada sarorohe Puje mi butang kusumena mena Punena matena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adiwase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adiwase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adiwase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Okay, we will now do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect. Triple Jam. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness, then we will start our meditation. Good. Today you can have half an hour of meditation. Okay. Always remember the four support to meditation, Relax. First thing is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain silent or awareness, sati, the second support. Just aware. Either thought arise, let it arise. Just silent to be aware. That's it. Don't try to do anything. Then if the hindrance are there, you need to do the mind serene method, you do. Then you combine with metta to develop the initial training of the mind to be peaceful, to overcome the mental hindrance. So the mind sweeping method will help you to decondition your heedless thinking, born of mental hindrance. Then after that, you can develop inner peace, leading to inner well-being when you radiate metta. So mind sweeping method combined metta is a very good training if you still have mental hindrance. Then after that, within about 10 to 15 minutes, your mind should be calm enough to train, to stabilize that calmness, that mindfulness within. Then you can anchor this awareness or mindfulness to any object or meditation that you are familiar with, either anapanasati or rising falling or any mantra or any chanting, Buddha or the recitation of the Buddha's name, or Bodhisattva's name, or even the nine virtues. Itipiso bhagava arahang. So if we can develop faith, then it can develop the mindfulness until the vibration, the chanting and the mind awareness become one. You can use it. Or any dynamic meditation that can anchor your mindfulness to the movement, you can use it. And for those who already stabilize their spiritual faculty, it's very easy to meditate. You just relax, aware, silent. Then whatever arises, your mind will develop the understanding. If you allow the mind to be whatever movement, thinking or what, it will slow down, slow down. Then finally, very quiet, very still. Then you can anchor it to whatever location within your body. Try to locate your heart area. Feel there, feel. But you don't do this until your sati has become stable. When your sati has become stable, this anapanasati or whatever object of meditation you do, they will become very quiet, very still, very subtle, like no movement. Means your mind is going to enter sati. So that is the sign where you can actually allow it to be. Then finally it will drop down to the mind base or somewhere near the heart area. So if it resides there, then you just silence everything and just feel whatever vibration that you can detect or your heartbeat. You just stay with it. Stay with it. Just be with it. And feel it. Feel it. Feel it. And because you are relaxed, you just silence everything and just feel. Then later on, the gateway will be very, very clear to you. Then when you touch the gateway, you will know. All of your energy will melt in. then you feel very calm, very peaceful, and very quiet. And then for the first time in your meditation, all of a sudden, your brain there, you have little or no more thinking. Very, very beautiful. And you have a lot of calmness, a lot of pity, a lot of joy. Then tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, paucity, they will arise. Then you continue to relax into it and just silent, maintain the silence. Then you will understand. You will stabilize your mindfulness. Then later on, when your mind is in sati, it's very easy to meditate. The moment you sit, you are already peaceful, quiet, silent. Then when you maintain this mind state for as long as you can, then even after you come out of the meditation, you can still maintain this mind state. Means your mind is already in sati. Then daily mindfulness become very easy, relatively easy. Then after that, in the midst of life, whatever you do, your mind will be in sati. Every moment of seeing is with sati, specific phenomenal awareness. Every moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process is with sati. Then you can either have spacious awareness without a center when you are silent in the formal posture, or when you are in the midst of life activity, you can maintain that continuity of mindfulness through specific phenomenal awareness. You can either anchor to your physical phenomena, which is most of the time kaya anupassana, body and mind as one. Then you can also move into the phenomena that you perceive through your seeing, hearing. By then, your mind is in sati. That's why it can flow with the phenomena. It can be with the moment, with the phenomena. This is what the Buddha meant by aware internally and externally. Okay, now I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about another 20 minutes. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then the real meditation is the daily mindfulness. You have to carry this trained mind state that is in sati into the daily life. We call it heedfulness, apamada. Apamada is ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So first we need to train the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then develop this mind state until you are aware most of the time, even in the midst of life. That's why after your form of meditation, after you are trained, you are more heedful now. But if you don't carry it out to the daily life, you become heedless again, so your meditation will not take off. You need to develop the stability of mindfulness. Then only you can be heedful most of the time throughout the day. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Now we chant the Pali together. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakka Sangho Yaditang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Hatta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pujya. Badang Pujya me. Dhammang Pujya me. Sanghang Pujya me. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our Heart Sutta. Okay, let us turn to page 1, opening verse for the sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, we turn to page 122. We stop there. Okay. Page 122. All marks are spoken of by the Tathagata as no mark. Basically, all marks are devoid of marks. And all living beings are spoken of as no living being. Originally, their self-nature is Buddha. But now, because they are confused, they are living beings. Once enlightened, they become Buddhas. If you use the Buddha Dhamma to teach and transform living beings in the future, all of them can return to the original, the source, and realize Buddhahood. Least his word caused people to become frightened, terrified, or doubtful. Sakyamuni Buddha assured Subhati, the Tathagata's words are true and honest. They are frank and to the point. The Buddha does not lie. Everything he says, contains the principle of true suchness. The Tathagata does not speak false words, nor does he expound strange and weird principles designed to arouse panic and alarm the heart of his listener. So this one is regarding the teaching of no mark. So initially, when they listen, you don't have the Dhamma understanding. So it may appear like very contradictory. And a lot of things is like very strange and weird principles. But since we have gone through all this, I think can be understood by now. Okay, we go on to the next section of the sutta. Subhati, the Dhamma obtained by the Tathagata is neither true nor false. Subhati, a bodhisattva whose mind dwells in phenomena when he gives, is like a man who enters darkness, who cannot see a thing. A bodhisattva whose mind does not dwell in phenomena when he gives, is like a man with eyes in the bright sunlight, who can see all kinds of forms. Subhati, in the future, if a good man or a good woman can receive, hold, read, and recite this sutta, then the Tathagata, by means of all Buddha wisdom, will completely know and see that person. That person accomplishes measureless and boundless merits and virtue. So this is the sutta part. Then we go on with the commentary. So according to Master Xuan Huang, the real Dhamma which the Tathagata has obtained is true, real wisdom, neither true nor false. The Dhamma is true emptiness, devoid of real existent substance. Nor false means that although Dhamma has no substance, within true emptiness is contained the wonderful existence of real mark. That's why Heart Sutta also say that, Zheng Kong Miao Yu. So true emptiness, as Dhamma is wonderful existence, it is also said not to be empty. So true emptiness does not obstruct wonderful existence. Wonderful existence does not obstruct true emptiness. So the Dhamma is neither true nor false. That means there is no attachment to mark. Abandoning the attachment to mark is the principle of true emptiness and wonderful existence. So this part is very important. If you all may recall, last time I used to share with you all the three levels of seeing. First level is mundane seeing, kan san, si san. When you perceive mountain, it's mountain, yes, it's mundane perception. But when you penetrate the universal characteristic, then when you can develop the direct seeing, when you can see things as they are, then you realize mountain is a word, is a concept created by mind through perception. When the mind is silent, without words, without concept, then whatever that is seen is only the seen, just that consciousness. That's why kan san, pu si san, there's no more labeling. You see things as they are, true suchness. But then this is still duality. That's why you have to see beyond duality, means the third level of seeing. Then kan san, yu si san, means you can accept both. You understand both. True emptiness, also you understand. Existential world, also you understand. So this is what Xuan Huang tried to explain. So abandoning the attachment to mark is the principle of true emptiness and wonderful existence. That's why Kuan Yin Bodhisattva also realized this profound prajna wisdom. That's why he said, in true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. Means when you understand both sides, you can accord, you can flow, you can live, and nothing obstructs. The real and the unreal, they intermingle, but because of your wisdom, you understand them perfectly. Now you understand. That's why the Buddha also said, what he has realized is neither true or false. True and false is what? Right and wrong is what? Duality, relative, perception. True according to who? Wrong according to whom? Thing is just the way it is. When it is within the existential world, then all Dhamma exists, all phenomena exist. That's why you have Four Noble Truths. You have Noble Truth of Suffering, Cause of Suffering. Noble Truth that explains clearly the cessation of suffering. And then there is this Noble Truth that even explain to you clearly how the end of suffering can be developed. So within the existential world, when you understand clearly, life can still become meaningful, beautiful. That's why it is wonderful existence. But when you don't have the wisdom, when you cannot penetrate, when you are deluded, especially self-delusion, And when you cannot penetrate the three universal characteristics, then you get yourself entangled. Then you don't understand. Then you don't know how to free. Then to you, life is full of suffering. Life is full of misery. That's why it's relative. Relative. Without wisdom, suffering becomes the reality. With wisdom, life becomes wonderful, beautiful, no more suffering. So all these are conventional truth, relative truth. But when you have the realization in true emptiness, everything becomes beautiful, meaningful. Yeah. Then there is no more of right and wrong, good or bad, true or false. All these are concept, duality created by thought. Okay? Can follow, eh? Yeah. Then we move on. If the bodhisattva cultivating the way find it necessary to attach to conditioned phenomena, his giving will remain within the confines of attachment to mark. Such conditioned giving can only bring birth in the heaven or birth among man as his reward. So this one is when you do generosity, cultivate generosity, pardon me, if you still hold on to a mark, then that parami is not powerful. It is still with mark, limited. That's why he said it can allow you to have birth in the heavens or among humans. Yeah. At least not so bad. Huh? You keep your precept with your this type of parami, you will not go down to hell. But then because you develop it with the confine of phenomena, a mark of living being, self phenomena, where you still think there is a person who do good. Then there are enlightened beings whom you can pay your respect and do all those wholesomeness. Then you have mark of other living beings, Dhamma, everything. As long as you are caught in all this, you still will not penetrate the true perfect understanding of Prajnaparamita, means the perfection of wisdom. Means you have not developed the wisdom of true emptiness, which realizes the understanding which is beyond mark. It understands clearly there is no being inside there. This one is just form and mind, karmically conditioned out. This one do, but it's not you. It's not a real human being. It's not a real entity that do. It is because this one is subject to karma, law of karma. That's why you use it as a vehicle and a tool to come to this world, this universe. Then you use it to cultivate, to develop whatever perfection and wholesomeness. But the one behind, with the wisdom and the understanding, will understand that there is no such thing as a being doing. That's why you give. You give without the mark of a self. Means what? When you don't have a mark of a self, means what you're giving is what? You give out of what? There is nobody inside there, understand or not? You don't look forward to the merit, understand or not? Which means your action is not out of greed, understand or not? Like the emperor, remember? Oh, he asked Bodhidharma, I have done so much for the Sangha. I built so much temple. I supported them. I provide them with food, shelter, and all those things. How much merits do you think I have accumulated or cultivated? Bodhidharma says zero. Because he is an enlightened being, understand? No. The merit that still have mark to him is no merit at all. That's why he said you didn't cultivate the spiritual understanding. That's why whatever you do, that wholesomeness is limited by your self-delusion. You understand, huh? Yeah? Because when there is a mark of a selfish, I want to do merit. This is very meritorious. This is very wholesome, understand? Then you rush to do. Then you want to offer to that monk, that abbot, or that you think is the most well cultivated one, understand? So which means you have mark of a form, external form, external phenomena of a person who has this virtue, this one. So these are still mark, but you have to go through this phase, understand not? Through this phase while you cultivate. Then later on, when you awaken, then you realize, he know me, he know you. This form of mind is neither real or true existence. Where it's not a permanent and changing entity, it's dependent originating, condition arising. So this one is subject to change. How can it be me? Yeah. So this one is a segmented life, the form and mind that you take while coming to this civilization, this world, this universe. Yeah. Then when you understand that this is not you, this is just the segmented form of mind, then you use it. Understand? Even that you inside there is not a person, understand? It's that wisdom. When you connect through your cultivation, means connect means you know how to silence your mind and realize your true mind, your nature. Then after that you inherit your spiritual nature. Then through that connection, the direct seeing, everything, you will awaken. You will understand. Then when the form and mind understand, there is this wisdom connected to it. But without the form and mind, you cannot connect back to the nature. That's why it's a chicken and egg story. So a lot of people don't understand. They thought, the moment you connect, you already have the wisdom. No, connect is the first step. Understand? That's why I say ever mindful is the beginning of real meditation. Then after that, you have to develop the silent mind to insight into phenomena, the direct seeing everything, the awakening. Then depending on your past cultivation, from that moment onward, only the spiritual nature that you have developed and cultivated, you can start to inherit. It's not like karma, no. Karma, the moment the form of mind is born, already karma takes its effect. Like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. And that one refers to the form of mind. That one immediately follow you, the law of karma. But when it comes to wisdom, the spiritual nature, that one you have to connect first, then only you can inherit. Otherwise, you will still be like a putujana. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha, before he realized his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, for 31 years, he was just using that form of mind without that wisdom coming in. So that's why initially, he is still like a normal, mundane person. But the moment he connect, then he inherit, because of his perfection and cultivation, he immediately become the Sammasambuddha. That's why it's very different. And spontaneously it can happen. Because this is his inheritance. But if you have not cultivated until that level, you can only inherit up to the level your nature has cultivated. Then from there you have to continue with the cultivation. So when you have that wisdom connected to the form and mind, then the understanding of the Diamond Sutta cultivation can arise if you have the wisdom or you have cultivated it before. Then straight away all those understanding will come back to you. Then technically you don't need teacher, you don't need anybody to tell you. But your nature will understand, by itself will understand. Then all these are beyond words. As like the Buddha said, it's the unconditioned. But the unconditioned is the one that gives birth to all the conditioned Dhamma. So from there, the silent, everything arises. That's why all of our aggregate of mind, they are the byproduct of our true nature. Our true nature is nothing. Cannot come out, cannot live. It's not a human being. It's not a what they call entity. But it is very unique, because the moment the form and mind connect to it, it has the ability to understanding. It has the ability to awaken to all of phenomena. It has the ability to realize the unconditioned Nibbana and all those things. Then after that, when it come out again, it will understand everything. It will understand all the conditioned world, existential world and all those things. That's why you have to go through the cessation. The Buddha mentioned under the three turning of the four noble truth, the third noble truth, the Buddha mentioned very clearly. First turning, he proclaimed that there is such thing as the cessation of suffering of form and mind leading to Nibbana. Means suffering need not be when you have developed the wisdom and the awakening. So enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. So this is the first turning proclamation. Then under the second turning, the Buddha mentioned this cessation of suffering of form and mind, which is Nibbana, is to be what? Is to be what? Realize. You have to realize it. If you cannot realize it, you cannot awaken. That's why it's to be realized. That's why you have to connect to this. Develop the wisdom. Then when the wisdom is connected, you understand, then this mind can cease. The mundane mind can cease. It realizes itself. It's self-delusion, it's foolishness, it's ignorant. Then it ceases. That's how Nibbana can be realized. Then there is the unconditioned. And after that, because the five aggregate, the life force, they are still there. That's why you will not die. That's why it can come out. The mind can come out. But it will understand everything. The moment you have that understanding, then you can say the form and mind is enlightened, no more deluded. But then that one is not you, understand? So this is the reason why existence become very, very unique, very wonderful. When you can have that connected during the balance of that life or the lifespan of that form and mind, we call it the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You remember? Pativeda. And that is the fruition phase, fruition of your hard work, your cultivation, your perfection. Under that phase, life is wonderful. Understand? No more suffering. That's why you can reap the fruit of your hard work. You can live the life of a noble one, enlightened being. And during that phase, life can be really, really wonderful, meaningful. Then you can live life to the fullest. Because you understand, not real, and yet you are not affected by it. There is no delusion. There is no more attachment. You can just do what you like. But you will not violate the nature's law, especially law of karma. Then you will know how to benefit living beings. Cultivate further to perfect your spiritual nature, so that in future when you come, it will remain as beautiful as before, if not better. That's why wonderful existence can arise. That's why when you have that wisdom, really, you can penetrate through emptiness and have that understanding that there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of a living being, no mark of the phenomenal world and Dhamma. All those things, you will understand. That form and mind will understand. Okay? Any questions so far? Any question? Yes. Pass the mic to the brother, Huiling's brother. Yeah.
Brother Dale, I want to ask how to think about emptiness.
Okay. You're off your mic, yeah? Off your mic, yeah. So your question is how to think of emptiness. You cannot you haven't off it yet. Push it down all the way. Ah, okay. Yeah. You cannot think of emptiness. The thought that think of emptiness is not emptiness. Yeah, it's from the thought. You can follow. You can follow that. The thought that want to think about emptiness is never emptiness. There is a thought. Emptiness means no thought, silent, still. Then, no thought means no phenomena, no entity, nothing. That's why it's empty. Empty. Yeah. So emptiness is just that particular suchness. But if you introduce a word or a thought to label it as emptiness, then it become a scientific term, understand not? Let's say you take a container. If you don't fill it with anything, what do you say? The container is empty. But empty of what, you never say, understand not? You say empty because there is no liquid inside there, understand not? Or you didn't put anything inside there. But if you are a scientist, you will know there is air, understand not? There is air, that's why it's still not empty. So if you go into outer space, beyond the atmosphere, and then no more air, it's vacuum space. That's why if you escape the what they call gravitational pull of our planet, then when you are in space, that's why the astronaut, they experience gravityless, understand? Zero gravity. Means what? Yeah? There is no gravity, you know, understand? Then no atmosphere. That's why it's like just space, understand? Empty. But then, even that one is just a concept, because that is still within the existential world, understand? But the realization of emptiness is different. Emptiness, the meaning is very deep. You should read through my book. Later on, I ask Hui Ling to pass you that book. The purple book, the Klang Talk that I delivered. Oh, no more space to write. Never mind, I will rub it off. This one came about because Brother Chia came from Singapore that day. Then the wife also came. So I need to explain this one more time to him for the wife's benefit. That's why this triangle of cultivation come about. Yeah? You see, there is this pure awareness, yeah? Or pure consciousness without its content, just aware. That's why it's at the top there, see. Yeah. This is your silent mind. Yeah? When you are in sati without thought, this is the pure awareness. Yeah? And this is where the true mind is. And this true mind is the one that allow you to come into this world. That's why when you are born into the world, this is where the senses is. The human being with the five physical senses and with the mind. That's why the six handle. So we call it the five aggregate of form and mind. This is where the mundane mind is. So this one, because it is deluded, it doesn't know that it has a nature, which is just pure awareness or the true mind behind. That's why this one thinks a lot. This one is very heedless. It creates a lot of evil roots, the three evil roots, the five hindrances, they are very active here. So because of self-delusion, this human being got trapped in the field of thought, phenomenal world of consciousness. So this is the one that trapped living being. So meditation is to silence the mind. Whatever that arises within this form and mind your thinking, your emotion or whatever, you just allow it to be relaxed and silent. That's why the fourth support for meditation is relax, aware, then you don't think. Then you just maintain for as long as you can. Then you trust, let the nature develop. Then when your yin yang energy melt inside, your mind becomes very quiet until it becomes very still. The moment it becomes very still, it connects back to the pure awareness. So when the pure awareness is connected, then you start to move this direction. The direct seeing. The four foundation of mind, the cultivation all. Because with sati, you can cultivate. You can be mindful, you can be heedful. Then you develop understanding or wisdom. Okay? This wisdom or understanding can come about because this silent mind will insight into phenomena. It will awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature of existence. So this anatta, which is a very unique principle that Sakyamuni Buddha realized. That's why his teaching is very unique. It has this anatta nature. Because he realized the phenomenal world that we live in, they have this universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering. And because of that, we can see they are all dependent originating. Otherwise, it wouldn't be impermanent condition arising. So because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why that form of mind, that human being, is not you. All of phenomena also you cannot hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I, this can be mine. Because they will change. Understand that? And because they change, that's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity which you can call self or the me and the I. So that is a delusion. That's why self-delusion. Then because it is ever-changing, dependent, originating, not a permanent unchanging entity, then you will come to realize that all of life, all of existence is just a phenomenal world of consciousness arising, passing away. Arising, passing away. Mighty nature rolling by, no reality. He no you, he no me. That's why it's empty. You understand? It's just like when you are born into this world, you come into this world empty. Correct or not? Then when you pass away, you also cannot bring along anything, physical or mental. That's why it's ultimately empty. That's why Mahayana got a saying, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. 那么施主啊,何必苦苦为空流泪? So the meaning is very profound. He said, when we are born into this world, we come empty. When we leave, we also leave empty. So why do you in between grieve over emptiness? Understand? All of your suffering, all of your misery, all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation. Because in between, while you live life, you go through life because of your delusion, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, your mind get afflicted. Yeah. Then finally, what do you get? You strive so hard, what do you get? Ultimately, it's empty. Understand that? No reality at all. That's why that emptiness is what this wisdom will realize. Empty nature existence, no reality on. Ultimately, not what you think. It's just like I always explain to you, even that talk I mentioned it. How real can it be? As real as it can be, yeah? It's only within the moment when it arises. After that split second, it's dead and gone. Because that is the only reality in life. Because we can divide life into existence. True or not? To live life, you have to go through existence. Correct? Can follow, eh? And existence can be defined by time. The whole spectrum of time will define existence. We have to exist is to go through time. Understand? That's why they created the past, the present, and the future. These three, you add together, the whole spectrum of time is inside there. But within this three, which is the reality? The present moment is there. Your past is already gone. Not a reality. Future yet to happen, yet to come, is also not a reality. So the only reality in life is the present moment. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? This is a very important point that you have to contemplate, reflect, and understand. When you understand this, you penetrate. You will awaken. So the present moment, how real is the present moment? The moment I talk about it, the next moment is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. So how real can life be? And that is the only reality in life, you know. That's why when I ask the cultivator or the canimeter when I did the sharing, I said, you look at life. You cannot deny that you were born. Your birth cert will tell you when you are born. Since birth until now, no matter how old are you, let's say 30, 40, or 50, or 60, or 70 years old, you cannot deny that you live, you truly go through that phase of life, isn't it? I ask you one question, is it real? Yeah? To you, you think it's real, because you recall through thought, understand? No? But whatever reality is dead and gone, understand? No? The moment you are born during those few years is all gone. It's no longer there, understand? No? You can only recall through mind, understand? No? Through memory. You have memory of those incidents or occasion when you are going through life. And all this is memory. How real is memory? Memory is just thought, understand? If you understand all this, then you realize, that's why I like the Mandarin song, 往事只能回味, 时光一去永不回, 时光一去永不回. Most of you, if Mandarin educated, you would have known this song. Then, 往事只能回味. You can only recall the past because it's dead and gone. That's why that is the real emptiness. Not the emptiness of a container, understand? Not the emptiness of what people say or describe through words. The true emptiness is empty nature. You can understand, can follow. Empty nature or existence. Existence is just phenomenal world of consciousness. How real is consciousness? That's why it's intangible. It's not real. That's why it's empty nature of existence. And that is the true meaning of emptiness. And emptiness is cover the whole of anatta. Actually, anatta is not only non-self. Non-self is a very small aspect of anatta. The main deep meaning is empty nature of existence. And the realization of that is what the Buddha called emptiness. That's why in true emptiness, when you realize that profound realization, then you realize there is nothing here. He know you, he know me. No mark, nothing. Just existential condition arising, dependent originating, not what you think. Then your whole of your understanding become different. That's why when you develop through the direct seeing or pure awareness, through the direct seeing, you don't go this way. This way is delusion. This way you become heedless. When you are here, you are heedless. You are heedless. Yeah? This one is heedless living. Living. Yeah. So this is heedless living. Heedless means there is no self-awareness. You never connect back. When you are lost in thought, when you are caught in the phenomenal world of consciousness, then you lose yourself. You think this is real. You forgot that you got another nature which is behind. So, living being always live from here, the senses, creating thought, consciousness, heedless living. But when you are here, connected with the wisdom, then this is heedful living or right living. Right living or heedful living. Heedful living. Heedful means no thought, just aware, ever mindful. And this is the one connected with the wisdom, protect this form and mind from being deluded. That's why with this, when you cultivate with the silent mind, the direct seeing, the awakening, develop the wisdom which is the panya, this is the one which is the one that actually make this form and mind enlightened. And when this form of mind is no longer deluded, there is no more heedless living, no more suffering. But you need to connect to this wisdom. That's why meditation is about connecting back to the true mind, the pure mind, the awareness, to develop the direct seeing, the daily mindfulness. Yeah. So that you are no longer heedless, you are not trapped in the thought process. Can follow? Yeah? So this is the real understanding of emptiness or sunyata. Sunyata means empty nature, existence, no reality. That's why everything is just not what the living being think. But what the living being think is delusion. They grasp, they cling, they hold. Whatever they come to perceive, they believe is real. Why? Because they themselves believe they are real. They believe this form of mind, this human being is real, because it can smile, it can talk, it can become emotional, it can laugh, it can also become miserable. Then there is such thing as birth and death. That's why everything like very real. Then you have your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sister. Everything is so real. Then the property you own, my house, my car, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. Everything is like very real. We are so tangible. Understand? You can communicate with them. You can even have relationship with them. But then, without wisdom, you deludedly grasp and cling. And that is the cause of suffering. Because attachment is the cause of suffering. Attachment born of craving, born of self-delusion, is the cause of suffering. So can follow. Eh? And this one is a very important understanding. So here is dependent origination, which I explained to them. This one is the textbook say one, which is not the correct one. He say avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, consciousness vijnana. Then vijnana paccaya namarupang, the form and mind. Then namarupang paccaya salayatana, the sense basis. So this sense basis is actually this one. Then the five aggregate of form and mind also inside here. So they say, depending on ignorance, you create karmic volition. That's why they use here karmic activity or karmic volition. And because of karmic volition, you take birth. So they call this what they call rebirth consciousness. Rebirth consciousness. Due to karma, you take birth, rebirth consciousness. Then it conditions the form and mind, which is the human being. And because the human being arises, there is the sense basis. And then upon contact with sense basis, arise craving, then, feeling, then feeling condition, craving, craving condition, grasping, grasping condition, becoming, then birth. Then arise the whole mess of suffering. But this one, it occurs only once over two or three lifespan. Even once over one lifespan, you learn it for one. This is for theory, no point. And in actual fact, it's not like that. But because they cannot explain dependent origination, they had to revert back to this explanation, which is once a lifetime one. Yeah. And this one, they felt very confident and very happy. They said, the Buddha must have meant this. But actually, no. What the Buddha meant is every moment, every instant, dependent origination happening within the form and mind every moment, every instant. So that one, they cannot explain. Yeah. So that's why I explained down here. Dependent on ignorant avijja, wanting to know, wanting to experience, what do? Yeah? In the school, when you don't understand, you want to know, you don't understand, what do? The teacher tell you what? Go back and think about it. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara is this sankhara is thinking, understand? Understand? You make contact with the mind, thinking. The mind think, understand? Thinking. So there is this physics experiment here. That's why that day I didn't rub off. Remember this one? Huh? Physics experiment. Upon contact, what happened? The light bulb lights up. Correct? Huh? So this one, if it's eye, E-Y-E, then there is seeing consciousness. If it's the mind, what happened? It's also an organ, isn't it? Then it arises mental consciousness. Understand? Huh? Thought consciousness. Can follow? Huh? So this one is avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara make contact, it condition mental consciousness. Understand? Instead of seeing consciousness, it's thought consciousness. Understand? Then when you create this thought consciousness, this is pure awareness. Pure consciousness. The Buddha said in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. In the thought, it's only the thought consciousness. Before you input the content, understand? Before you become deluded, self-delusion, I see, the I goes in. Then your views, your opinion, your conditioning, which is your whatever, belief system and all those things, this is the one that actually molds you. That's why the human being is just a bundle of memory with its conditioning, belief system, tradition and all those things, views and opinion. And from there you act, understand? That's why when the pure mental consciousness without content, you put in the content. That's why vinyanang paccaya namarupang. Namarupang is the form of mind, the five aggregate of form of mind, the mental consciousness with its content. And this is the one that they cannot explain. Yeah. So this one, every moment, every instant it happens. Then dependent on this, there must be sense basis. Otherwise it cannot arise. That's why there must be mind. Yeah. That's why dependent on this namarupang, five aggregate of form and mind, salayatana must be there. And because there is salayatana, there is contact. And because there is contact, there is feeling. But then contact happens at two places. During ignorance, also there is contact. Ignorant contact also condition this. Then simultaneously contact condition feeling. That's why within the content of consciousness, the seven universal has feeling, has perception, has contact. All these are there. That's why this is the part people cannot understand and they cannot explain. Okay? Then the other thing is nothing frees you like what we went through last Tuesday. Except wisdom. That's why without wisdom, this form and mind will be trapped. It cannot free. It cannot liberate. So with wisdom developed through the direct seeing, this one come about. Now you follow. Now you understand why you meditate and how you meditate. That's why you don't silence your mind, develop the heedfulness, the mindfulness, the awareness to come back to this pure awareness. You cannot develop the direct seeing. All here is trap, thought-based meditation. You think a lot. Just like what you asked the question just now. is the same as somebody who don't have. How do we think of emptiness? By thinking of emptiness, can you realize emptiness? By thinking of enlightenment, can you be enlightened? Because it's beyond thought, beyond mind. You cannot think. Emptiness is an understanding. It's not a knowledge. It's not within the field of thought. It's not memory. Understand? Because when you say, how can I think of emptiness, the question comes from where? From the thought. The thought creates a concept of emptiness. That's why you say, how can I think of emptiness? It's just like you all last time do vipassana. You don't laugh. No? It's exactly the same. No? You want to be mindful. Understand? No? True or not? Because you want to cultivate mindfulness. Like mindfulness can be cultivated, understand? Not? There is no such thing. Don't try to be mindful. Understand? The moment you are without thought, you are already mindful. You understand? The moment you are without thought, you are already aware, understand? Not? Because man can only do one thing at a time. Correct not? Either you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, or you are without thought, aware of what is going on. Can see this or not? Can understand this point or not? That's why the moment you have thought, when you are preoccupied with some thinking, you are already not aware. That's why the moment you labor, you are already not aware. The moment you verbalize, you already not aware. Because you have created the aggregate. It come out already. That's why awareness is before the knowing. Before the aggregate. It's just a pure awareness. Seeing things as they are. Before the arising of thought. Before the labeling. That's why it's just with the thing. That's why body and mind as one. No thought. Anapanasati, the breath and the mind as one, no thought. Yeah. So just like those who don't understand, they say, how can I think of emptiness? Just like those who don't understand, I'm not mindful now. How can I cultivate mindfulness? How can I try to develop mindfulness? That trying is the thought. The thought want to be mindful. The moment there is thought active, you can never be mindful. That's why you have to understand that. Then you tell yourself, the moment I am silent without thought, I already aware. And it's so easy, isn't it? The opposite of it is so easy, isn't it? No more doing, isn't it? Today I sent out the email. 9 years ago, I sent out to Kajamitown 2071. You should read through that one. That one is very good. How to develop daily mindfulness. That one I explained very clearly inside there. How many of you have read the email? Nobody? Already received, haven't opened. And Li Chin Hao told me he read already. He said, very, very beautiful. He said, all these things were already taught at that time. 9 years ago. That question was asked by Yun Chan. I still remember she asked me, daily mindfulness that time. Because you asked that question, Brother, maybe it's very difficult for you to understand. Where you already mindful. It's like winning born like that one. So how to tell to you? Then he somehow say something else. I forgot already. There's something which is very cute. And that one I can remember. It's definitely from her, that question, because she always have that type of what they call. Because that time she deal with me quite a lot. So that time, the first batch. You have it or not? You scroll it down and see the question before my answer. That question by Yun Chan. You pass me the email. I read. Oh, good. Never mind. It's okay. Wait. No, then you're like that easier. Never mind. I know why. It cannot. Oh, okay. Page by page. Which is forward? Wait. Never mind, it's okay. After this. Okay. No, no, this is not the last one. Wait. This is very beginning.
Yeah, this is the 27th one. You want the latest
Yeah, no, before this one. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you can make it into word form. Oh, very good.
So easy. This one.
Thank you so much for your rather good question, because it will arise a condition for Dhamma to flow so that you all can develop better understanding of what mindfulness or sati is, like I used to tell you all earlier. No more? No, this is my, that one. The email before I answer. The email before I answer. Never mind, I get it from my own. This is the one. This is the question by Yun Chan. He said, Brother Teo, how do you arise the daily mindfulness? What effort is required? there is still that question. Then after that, if we were to do this, would we not be using our mind? See? That time she also know. The moment you use effort, there is thought. There is intention. Do we just wait for awareness to dawn upon us or maintain this awareness, or do we remind ourselves constantly to be aware? So this was her question. Then she commented, guess that you may not be able to advise us as you are automatically aware without using your mind. Hope that we can get some good pointer from you. That's why she very cute. Many thanks for reminding us to be aware of our speech and action to create good karma. So this part, I think she got it at that time. She know it's very valuable. Aware of our action, speech and thought. Otherwise, you will develop the negativity of karma without realizing it. So when you are aware, you have to understand what constitutes evil too. That's why not only just aware. Otherwise, you were just aware of the evil root according to you. Understand? There are a lot of those subtle, or what they call evil root, that are camouflaged. You cannot see. Understand? Because the what they call the egoic mind is so fine. It is actually very, very deceiving. So without the real wisdom or understanding, I return you. Without the real wisdom and the understanding, it's not easy. So that part, you read through my answer. All those things that I shared you all, they are all there. That's why they asked me, Bertil, did you teach the same? I said, it's the same from the day when I come out to share until now. I never change anything. Everything is still the same, except approach from different angle. Understand not? The explanation becomes clearer and clearer. Because as I give you more example, because I realize most cultivators that come, there are very few that has the past. Very few. That's why I at first I thought everybody should be like me, you know. The moment I say understand, I contemplated it out myself. Develop the understanding myself. So I thought this is what you need. No? The moment I tell you, you understand. No? But I realize it's so difficult for living being to understand. No? And very few has that part of me. The God, there are some, but very few, very few. So because of that, it's like you thought I have to repeat. It's not really repeat. Because every time the thing is shared, then when it goes through, this nature, no, it has not gone in, no. That's why there are conditions that will arise, then I will explain again. Then is all from various angle. That's why you realize the Thursday class. You go to Thursday class is the most obvious one. Well, at least here we got other sutta, all those things. No? Thursday class only meditation one. No sutta class one. And you know what I teach or not? That's why Sri Anand also know. For the last 7 years, I only teach the basic Dhamma. 5 mental faculty, 5 mental hindrance, 3 evil roots, 5 spiritual faculty. Yeah. Just around this. Yeah. Then define sati and all those things. That few chart up there. Why? Can you teach the same subject for 7 years? Cannot. No. But because that is the essential Dhamma. No? And it can be approached from so many directions. Every time I explain, it's different again. No? The approach is different again. That's why you listen to the recording and the talk. Every time I go back to the 5 mental hindrance, the 5 spiritual faculty, then the 3 evil root, what constitute evil, then the advice of the Buddha, 4 noble truth. Only these few things. Because these are the essential Dhamma that you have to penetrate and understand. And the moment you penetrate and understand, you become beautiful. Okay. So I answered your question, Sadhu. Any more question? Clear? Then regarding mindfulness, go back and read through that email. It's very important. It's a very good, like, refresh course. Refresh course. Reminder. Because in other times when I share that sati, it's all in the talk. It's not in the transcript form, understand not? And that one, when I answer Yun Chan, it is in an email. That's right. It's in transcript form. And these are the things that I shared with them at that time, during that time. And later on, even towards the end, if you read, I say, for the time being, enough. I say, wait until you all really do. Then only we can go deeper and share other things. Only, I think, beginning of this year, we started going deeper than that on a few occasions because of the Bodhisattva way and all those things, the Diamond Sutta, the Platform Sutta. Then because there are people who have started developing and cultivating the daily mindfulness. Then some has, because of their past also, they connect to their true mind, then they progress very fast. And these are the people who talk to me direct, discuss with me direct. And sometimes they share with you all in the Tuesday class, Thursday class. They only share when they go for retreat or whatever, or spiritual trip like the recent one, Rayong and all those things. Then, in between, most of the time, they only come and talk to me when they have the condition and the affinity. And most of this is during our, what they call, makan session. Either dinner or lunch, where they come and see me. Then sometimes they visit me and we have Chinese tea here. So like the day Brother Chia came, the day before our gathering, Saturday. He came 6 o'clock. They left 12 something. talk. Then Mrs. Ho came. Then after that we say go for dinner. Dinner, come back, talk. Cannot end. 11 something, tell them late already, better go. Then continue some more until 12 something only, they go. Then the next day also still want to come after the gathering. Want to make appointment for dinner. But because somebody already asked me for appointment dinner. So I told Song, I said, maybe later, 8:30 onward. Then they scared, they disturb me. Not enough rest or what. I say it's okay, but he said never mind. They also need to rest. So after dinner, they didn't come. They say it's okay, brother Teo. Actually, they want to invite me for dinner, then talk again. So it's during this moment that he shared. Then sometimes they follow me to Klang Talk or Thursday class, and like PGO, they fetch me, or Mimi's husband and Mimi Teo. So 1 hour up, 1 hour down, the 2 hour extra class. Then Sue also benefited. Where is Sue? Oh yeah, every time extra class. Last night Chui was the one that tell her one, is it? Wow, extra class. So it's only during those moments you can actually ask me. Actually you can come anytime. You don't have to worry about me, I won't eat you up. But don't come for small petty thing. If you really have question, inquiry, then you really have the faith and the sincerity, you can come anytime. This nature is very happy to share. So don't worry. Okay? But don't ask me other things. Nothing to do with Dhamma. You only want to know for fun. People die already, how? Go heaven or go hell. That one you don't ask me. It's not going to benefit you. You ask me on cultivation, it's okay. Otherwise, a lot of people, they drag until one. Medium la, feng shui la, fortune teller la. Then all this type of funny thing. Then they say, kao long ya la. Kao long ya. You know what is kao long ya or not? Kao long ya, you know? So they say, can go into trance. Or spear through the mouth and all those things. Then after that, nothing happened. I say possible, but don't ask me this, because it's not going to benefit your cultivation. Yeah, these are all different fields. If you are interested in all those fields, then it's not the Dhamma field. You can go and find out on your own. But even though sometimes we just discuss it, but there are also understanding inside there. That's why sometimes I had to explain to Kayanamita, is because I don't want Kayanamita to fall for all this. Well, a lot of people are very gullible. Even a lot of Buddhists, I tell you, they believe in feng shui, they believe in fortune telling, they believe in what the feng shui people tell him, hey, your door, wrong direction and all those things. Or you must do your house like that, like that, like that. Then he will tell you a lot of, according to their own understanding and logic, you see. But the true thing that actually play the greatest role is your karma. If you don't take care of karma, you go and believe all those things, I wish you luck. Your money also gone, your pocket also one hole. And end of the day, you are not going to benefit. Well, these are all rites and ritual, superstition. It has its own science, but it's very limited in its effect. The real one is karma. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So all of your life, you are born with it. You inherit everything that you create through that law of karma, your karmic nature. Then you are conditioned and supported by it every moment, every instant. And you are what you are because of it. If law of karma, your karma plays such a great role in your life, you somehow go and believe all those other nonsense and don't want to take care of karma, you think it will help you? It's not going to help you, understand? Sometimes you may say, I follow that feng shui one, I did. Then my business very successful. Then after that, what happened? Economics crisis come the time again, you lost everything. Maybe feng shui no good already, got to change again. You see them now, they say different element already. Now you have to change your house, you have to shift, you have to renovate here and there. And everything is about money. By end of the day, if you understand, to me, my advice is, forget about it. Take care of your karma. That is more important. Like I explained to my mother, very simple. I say, you give birth to us 9 children. How come all 9 different? Some very tall, some very short, some very hairy, some no hair. Some can study, some cannot study at all. Some very spiritual, some totally not spiritual. Why? It's karmic. Then I say, you all came over to Malaysia, so lucky. But your brother, your sister, both my parents, I say, they suffer because they are trapped in China. Your feng shui is the same, isn't it? Grandpa, grandma, same, isn't it? The feng shui is somewhere in China. But how come we all outside like very lucky? So it's nothing to do with feng shui. It's a lot to do with the individual. That's why you don't have the karma. You depend on all this. You will get disappointed. Okay? But don't worry, because just now lunchtime, I think we talk about that thing. But don't worry, that one is okay, because we understand. But if you just come and see me and talk about this just because of what, then please don't. But when we were having lunch or what, we discussion topic or what, then it's okay. But you purposely see me and talk about this, then you are wasting your time and wasting my time. But you want to clarify about Dhamma, yes, anytime. This nature will be there for you. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think we got how many more minutes? Oh, 15 more minutes. Maybe I quickly run through this page. Then after that, we can stop. Condition giving which reaps a heavenly blessing resemble brandishing a sword in empty space. Just as when the arm grows tired, the sword must fall. Subsequent life will fail to sustain such height. So this is Shenhua's way of giving you an analogy. Those who only know how to cultivate blessings and do not know how to cultivate the way, means what? You are more interested in doing good, understand? Accumulating merits, blessings, but you don't want to cultivate wisdom to liberate your mind. So this one, not as bad as being heedless, a lot better than being heedless, but you still have problem, understand? Without wisdom, blessing alone, merits alone, cannot free you completely. It can give you better life, better condition, but when you confront old age, sickness and death, you cannot cope, because without wisdom, you cannot cope. When you have relationship with the world, when you encounter the First Noble Truth reality, without wisdom, you cannot cope. That's why you have to purify your mind. You have to cultivate the way. That's why here Shenhua said, will descend among men when their heavenly reward has ended, and will be compelled to endure more suffering. Giving which has outflow reaps no ultimate reward. Attachment to mark in giving is analogous to a man in a place so dark that he cannot see a thing. Although conditioned giving with attachment to mark can secure one's rebirth in heaven, it cannot help one to gain wisdom. Without true actual wisdom, there is no light, and the lack of light is comparable to the darkness experienced by man in the analogy. Such a person will be unable to hear the Buddha Dhamma because of ignorance. If you don't cultivate the way, your blessings, your merit is not enough. But it doesn't give you wisdom. That's why the advice of the Buddha is threefold. All evil you have to avoid. Cultivate whatever blessing when there is condition or wholesomeness. Then third one is purify the mind. Develop wisdom. Strive on with heedfulness. A bodhisattva who is not attached when he practices giving is like a man in sunlight. Cultivating the unconditioned giving means without mark, yields the fruit which has no outflow, which is true actual wisdom. The sunlight represents wisdom by which one is able to see things clearly, or see things as they are. Oh, next page, we finish it, a bit left. If there is a person in the future who can receive the Vajra, means Diamond Sutta, in his heart, and practice it with his body, who can respectfully uphold it, who can read it from the book, or who can recite it from memory, the Tathagata would thoroughly know of such cultivating, of such cultivation, and will completely see that person. That's why the Buddha always tell the disciple, he who sees the Dhamma sees me. It's not he who sees physical form see him. That is not the real Buddha. The real Buddha is the embodiment of his wisdom and perfection. That's why he is called the doubly perfect, endowed with perfect wisdom and virtue. That person accomplished measureless and boundless merits and virtue. Where is that much merits and virtue to be found? Nowhere. Do not be attached. If you become attached, you will not find it anywhere. If you do not become attached, it is right here. You understand this meaning or not? Huh? Your merits, your wisdom, your virtue, where is it stored? Where is it stored? Is it stored anywhere? It's not stored anywhere, understand? Even your delusion, they are not yours, understand? Because he know you, he know me. So this understanding and all those things is not stored somewhere, understand? When you understand, it's in the midst of nature. That's why you must know the secret of life. Then you must know how to come. Then you know, understand life, and you will know how to live life. Otherwise, not easy. You see, the whole of this understanding, when you understand, it's very easy, very simple, very clear. But when you don't understand, I tell you, you want to understand it or find out for yourself, it is really next to impossible, I tell you. Even with the Buddha Sasana, after I explained on it, also not easy for you to fully comprehend. True or not? That's why that day Alicia, she is not here today because she has to go to the uncle's wake, I think, Freddy's side. He told me last Sunday or the recent one, our recent gathering, after that she told me, he said, Virtue, really, when you mention in the talk, for us to develop the understanding, after listener, you have to write it down and map the whole thing out. She managed to map it out, and she said, wow, thank you so much. She said, it was so beautiful. Now it becomes so clear, the whole thing. That's why you have to map it out. If you don't map it out, if you don't have the understanding, it's very difficult. Very difficult. Well, you have to put it into practice, understand, or cultivation. You cannot cultivate something that you don't really understand thoroughly. For those who stay in Penang, you will know Penang Island. The road seldom change. Most of the road are still standard since the 60s until now. So you know how I remember Penang Road. That's why I studied the map. There is one road called Penang Road. You see. Then from the ferry crossover, there is this the jetty there. You take the jetty, you go, then you can reach Penang Road quite fast. There are only three main roads you have to remember. What are the three main roads perpendicular to Penang Road? Burma Road, Datuk Ramat, then McAllister. McAllister, then Datuk Ramat. These three go straight up. That's why I remember these three roads. I go Penang, I won't get lost. I will know how to come out. When I see any, well, these three roads very long. Then one will take you to the Jalan Burma, the Sleeping Buddha, the Thai temple there. Then Pulau Tikus, the area. Then the other one, McAllister, is go to what they call the what? Lao Kau Hui. A lot of monkey on Botanic Garden. Then also there is a waterfall route there. Then the other one is go Keloksi one. Datuk Kramat Road. Keloksi and all those areas. You eat your laksa, all those things. That's like these three roads. You understand, you won't miss already. Then the rest are all connecting roads. All can connect on. Can connect. Then there is also one coastal road. I forgot that name already. Very famous coastal road. Kenny Drive, huh? Kenny Drive. Tanjuan? Tanjung Bunga, that to Telok Pahang one. Then to one restaurant, end of the world. There's one restaurant at the end of the world, they call around. So after so many years I haven't been to Penang, anytime I go there, I cannot get lost. Oh, that one no problem. Even one wheel, I go Penang, I never use Waze. So far, so good. Even the place I didn't go on, the Jalan Jelutong there to Sungai Dua and all those areas. No problem. I just drive. Then I know how to come back. Because I have studied the map before. What I want to explain to you is, Dhamma is like that. You have to understand it clearly. Phase one, Pariyatti. When you understand it very clearly, then very easy to cultivate. Just like the Penang Road system, where I study the map already. Then I don't need the map now. When I drive there, I know what to do. I know how to go around. So meditation is the same. When you have understood the Buddha Dhamma, the essential Dhamma clearly, phase one. Then phase two, very easy one. Everything you do become the cultivation, where you can relate to it. And you know what other thing you need to cultivate. That's why I say spend more time on phase one, Pariyatti. Then map it out. Understand it clearly. Then after that, close the book, close the notes, then cultivate. See whether you can recall what you need to do. Then every time you meditate, ask yourself, what am I doing in the name of meditation? Am I still going back to the old way of noting this, noting that, and trying to walk slowly? You will find out. Then why do you do all this? And most of the time, you don't believe me. You are there to make yourself peaceful only, I tell you. Understand not? You think by being peaceful and calm, you have good meditation. You think you are meditating. No. That one, useless one. It's a conditioned environment, because within retreats, the setting is very conducive. Even you can become very peaceful and experience fantastic meditation experience, so on. The moment you go out, heedless again. So what you need to do is to train, like the Buddha said. If you are heedless because of the five mental hindrance, you have to train the spiritual faculty, train. You have to decondition the heedless thinking, then develop the sati, then stabilize it. You need to walk, bow, lie down. Just stabilize it. Then after that, all this trained mind state that you have, stabilize it, then bring it into the daily life. Then after that, you don't even have to sitting, walking. No need. Even go down for your meal, go down to collect water, going back to your quarters or the place you sleep. All this you can develop daily mindfulness. Then every time I go and do my walk outside, open area, I just walk. I walk normally with a free mind, relax, aware. I don't try to be aware. I just relax and walk naturally. Every part is so relaxed, so free, silent. Then I like to go out into nature. Then I look at the nature. I silence my mind. I sense the nature. The nature feel everything, the vibration, everything. Then everything that is within and without. This is the real satipatthana meditation. Not every day sitting, walking, pain like anything. You go there to torture yourself for what? I also don't know. Go for a walk, understand? You feel so good. And walk with a relaxed mind, silent. Silent means naturally mindful. The moment you are silent, spacious awareness, then when you want to understand anything, the specific phenomenal awareness, you look at nature. I like to look at date tree. I like to listen to the chirping of the birds, the insect and all those things. Then I silent, I can feel the nature. Then the great beings, nature, their energy and all those things. And everything is there, especially Cameron Highland. That is the place where my first cessation happened in the year 1989. That's why I have a lot of affinity with that place. That's why last time Sui and they all were looking for a place. I said, no need, you just go Cameron. That's how after Fraser's Hill, we changed to Cameron Highland until today. Okay, we better end. Exactly 10:30. So we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Okay, next Tuesday, no class, because quite a number of us are going to Thailand, Wat Na Long, the spiritual trip. Just make a note. Thank you so much, Yun Chan. Sadhu. Okay. Put up there.